Welcome to Jessica Miles, the podcast, where each week we'll discuss my experiences as a professional spiritual medium, intuitive healer, and mentor. I'll be sharing what I've learned while developing as a psychic medium and facilitator of ancient healing modalities and much, much more. You were born with this innate ability to communicate and co-create with the unseen realms of the universe. This podcast is for those on a path of self-discovery and spiritual development, seeking grounded and practical tools to feel deeply rooted into spirit. I'm your host, Jessica Miles. Now let's dive into today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I have a very special guest joining the episode today. Her name is Leilani Aquino, also known as Mana Medium on Instagram. It is a true pleasure to have her on the podcast today. I have to tell you, we were sitting down to record and all the electronics were going a bit wild. And so we had to take quite a few pauses and restarts to get to the meat and the potatoes of this episode. But I will say this with you guys, you do not want to miss this conversation. Oftentimes when medium, or I always like to say, I notice it in a greater, like I feel like it's impacted much greater when there's a combination of mediumship and healing abilities that takes place. And I'll notice like things that happen with my electronics and with other mediums, not all mediums, but certain mediums, when we get together, it will definitely shake things up a bit and messes with the internet and all of that stuff. But what was really special about today's conversation is before I got on to the live call, I kept getting this download about really asking her questions about her indigenous roots. And I know her to be a native to Hawaii. And I don't know that much background about her personal history as it relates to her mom and her father, but I did know that she is, of indigenous descent. And I wasn't sure how much she wanted to talk about that on this conversation. And I kept getting these little downloads about it. And while I was preparing for this recording, I decided to open up the four directions and call in my indigenous guides and healers that I work with on the other side, and also to call in any loved ones who wish to support us in our conversation, and with the intention of this conversation opening up the hearts of whoever listens to this episode. And I pulled a few cards before she got onto the Zoom, and one of the cards represented mediumship and the other card represented the oracle. And so I knew that we were going to have a very active conversation. My intention was to speak to her about medical intuition and her journey into mediumship. But what happened while we were recording is the electronics just kept going crazy. We could not get it together. And she had said, I got a message this morning that a spirit was going to come in and mess with the electronics. And so I want you guys to be very patient with like the first couple minutes of this episode, because you will kind of see how this takes place. But what was really incredible, and I'm so glad that it all happened, honestly, because it just goes to show that spirit has a much bigger plan than me or than her, like how we want this, recording to be good. And we want to have this incredible conversation. And of course, like the Virgo rising in me wants things to be perfect, right? But it just goes to show that spirit has other plans, and it's not an accident that her and I came together on this conversation. There are so many synchronicities and so much that her and I have in common. And spirit knows who they want us to connect with. And in this conversation, she had said that this spirit communicator, she didn't indicate that it was her father at first. And then she decided to share a very vulnerable experience. It's going to make me a little emotional, I apologize. But she shared an experience of her father's passing on Thanksgiving in 2009. And as we sat down to record this episode, we just had Thanksgiving. And so he really wanted to come through. And so I said, let's go ahead. Let's let him come through and share whatever messages that he wants to share, because obviously he wants his voice to be heard today. And she shared her testimony and her experience with the passing of her father. And it's a very vulnerable, vulnerable share that I think will help many that are listening. And so again, be patient with the introduction of the episode, because you will hear like this sort of bobbing in and out and us sort of trying to figure out what's happening. But we wanted to keep that in there so that you could see that when she gave Spirit a voice and she allowed herself to open up her heart and share, that there was no other interruptions in the internet. There was no like shutting down of the internet or the screen. It was like, okay, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to share. And now we're going to like in your flow, everything will sort of fall into place. And it was obviously very, very needed for her. I felt an incredible healing in her heart as she was sharing her messages. And I know that you will too. So go ahead and have a listen, and please give her a follow, because she has an incredible new podcast of her own, and she is somebody who is very anchored and grounded, and I love the way that she shares her messages, and she does live readings on Instagram. She has her website. She sees clients, and she also has a new podcast that you all should definitely have a listen to. So enjoy this episode and let us know what you think.
What's so funny is I pulled some cards for open, especially with you being in Hawaii. I love the spirits of the land and just give honor to the four directions before I do my sessions or before I do any of my records. And on those cards, it was literally the spirit communication card and then the oracle card, which is all about bridging the two together. And so I was like, oh boy, this is probably going to build a lot of energy with both of us here with the world of spirit and just the way that we connect. So it'll be interesting to see how stable this conversation stays throughout our next hour. So we're just going to wing it and see what happens. It's just the way the energy builds sometimes when,
right,
when mediums get together, especially mediums that do healing work. I feel like then it really amplifies. But I'm really excited to have you on here today. So we met through Spirit School. I think we were doing like a business cohort together, right? It wasn't like the actual initiation. I feel like I didn't do like a practice pairing with you, but it was more of us. We were in a cohort together for business mentorship with Danielle, which was really fun.
Yeah, it was. I think it was a mastermind, an advanced mediumship mastermind. I think that's what she called it. But it definitely went business.
Yeah.
Was.
Yeah, that's right. We transitioned it. We went rogue, didn't we? I forgot. She did the little Q&A and it seemed like everyone was in the same space of wanting a business. So lovely to do that with us. But I wanted to touch base with you after listening to your new podcast. I was really excited to have this conversation. Our story is parallel. And something that you said on your podcast that I was like, oh my God, I feel like so many people can relate with this. Is you said something to the effect of, I didn't think I was psychic, but I knew I was always intuitive. And so I wanted you to share, I don't know, how did you even land here with your career and your devotion with the world of spirit? Because this is something that we say yes to, obviously. And it is such a beautiful commitment to make, but it is a commitment, isn't it? So how did your journey start?
I feel my journey personally started with mediumship and with communicating with the world of spirit when I was really young. I want to say 5 years old. I lost my best friend who he passed from cancer. And I didn't know at the time that he had passed, and his spirit started coming in and communicating with me. And that's when I started to ask questions, and I was getting the funny look, like, why are you asking this type of question? And so it really came in as losing my friend and started feeling his spirit communicating with me. But also it was weird because I felt he was growing up beside me. I could always feel him as I had a birthday. I felt him have a birthday. As I became a mom, I felt him. I always felt him with me. Feeling of having my first close friend in spirit, now my close spirit friend. I don't know how to translate that. But, and then also my brother, he was nonverbal until he was about 7 years old. And I would speak for him. And so he would cry a lot, or we didn't know what, my mom didn't know what he needed. And my mom would come to me and be like, what does your brother want? What does he need? What's wrong with him? And I just always knew. I always could tell her what was wrong, and then she would help him in that way, and then everything would be fine. And my brother recently reminded me of this because I have the worst memory. And my oldest, she had gone through speech therapy, and I was telling him about her going to speech therapy and how proud I am of her. And he was, hey, Leilani, don't you remember? I did not talk and you spoke for me for the first 7 years of my life. And I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, I do remember that. And so that's how I knew I could communicate with the energy of someone else's spirit. And then my friend that came in. Wow. Sorry, I don't know if we froze.
We did. We froze.
Okay. First. Are you there? Yeah, you're completely frozen. Is that better?
Okay, there. This is so weird. I swear to God, it's so weird. I very rarely does this happen, but when the people that happens with, I always laugh because I can see why it happens. But it just went from my office internet to my house internet, which is in a completely different building, and it never does that. And then I went to another internet that's no longer here, that's this energy office, which was my old internet. It's not even, there's no box to that anymore. So,
yeah. So the spirit that told me this morning that he was going to do this, when he passed on Thanksgiving, and it was a really emotional day and night. And when we got home and I was sleeping in bed with my mom, the TV turned on. And I get up and I'm looking for the remote. I turn off the TV. I put it back on the dresser. I lay back down. The TV turns back on a few minutes later. And my mom just starts screaming. That's him. He told me he was going to be messing with the electronics. And that was his way to let me know that he made it to the other side.
Oh, and this was just on Thanksgiving, like this last past week?
No. So it happened in 2009. Mm-hmm. And so this was someone who raised me. And this morning he told me he was going to mess with electronics again. So I'm sorry.
It's okay. Listen, this is our life. I'm used to it. I love that I'm on a call with somebody who gets it. Cause if it would just be like a client, sometimes they don't get it. I'm like, I'm telling you right now. But I totally get it. And I love that he's coming through to just let you know that he's here. Cause I know the power of that. It's so powerful. And then, like I told you, the cards that I pulled was a mediumship card and oracle card. And it's literally all about somebody wanting to come through. And so we'll just see what happens.
I haven't been speaking to him as much as I do my other spirits on the other side. And I feel him wanting to get my attention. Talk about me, please.
We can, if we feel like that will honor him a little bit, then we can do that. He's, hello, this is my time to shine.
He was a father figure. This is my dad. And he struggled with alcohol. He was Alaskan Indian and Filipino. And so he was raised in a very rough family upbringing. And so he had an addiction to alcohol. And so my mom, she had to separate from him when I was really young. And so he lived in Alaska for quite some time, and he would always try to get me to move up there and to live with him. And he really wanted me to be a part of his tribe and be able to pass down land to me from Alaska and really get to know my culture. But I wanted to stay with my mom. Sorry, I feel very choked up about this.
I know, I'm getting emotional too, because this is all making sense. Yeah, thank you for sharing all of that.
I've been pretty silent about it. I never really honored him in this way. Thank you so much, Jess, for allowing me to talk about
him. Well, you're tripping me out right now, because I literally
was telling Haley, I want to highlight Indigenous healers. It's going to make me emotional.
I don't know why I'm getting emotional.
But I was like, I really want to highlight Indigenous healers. And I was thinking about you this morning. And I'm like, I wonder if she talks about that so much. And then I opened up the circle where I called in the four directions. And so again, it's not an accident because we share some similar backgrounds and all of those things. And I think that those voices need to be heard, right?
Yeah. So he struggled with alcohol. And so he came back and forth. He would always come back to Hawaii to talk me into moving to Alaska. He's always like, we could have this beautiful land. And he would always send me fish in the mail. He was older, like 40 years older than my mom. And so my mom was really young, but my dad was really good looking and super like hot body. So he was like a handsome older guy. My mom and him, they got married on the north shore of Oahu. And so they lived that island life. But he just struggled a lot with the addiction part, being brought up in a really rough household. And family was really important to him. I was very important to him. And he wanted to have this balance with having his children with him. But I wanted to be with my mom. I didn't want to be alone with my dad in Alaska without my mom and my brothers and sisters. So I never went up there. And I have a lot of regret about that. He was getting to the age, and my mom and him had been married this whole time. So he was getting to the age where he needed some assistance because he was, I think, like 85 at this time. And so he had moved back to Hawaii and he moved in with my mom, and my mom couldn't handle it. There was just too many different complexes going on. My mom had a boyfriend who was 20 years younger than her, and she decided that she couldn't have him living with her. And that was a big, I think, regret for my mom. It was just too much for her to have my dad live with her. And at this time, I was in college. I was living in Las Vegas and working. And so I had come back for the Thanksgiving holiday. I came back the night before, so I hadn't really settled in yet. And it was Thanksgiving morning. And I remember my brother and I went across the street to the beach and we watched the sunset. And I was talking about dad and I needed to call him and see if he could come to Thanksgiving dinner because my mom was cooking. After watching the sunset with my brother, going back to the house and calling and him not answering, I had this feeling, something's off feeling, like it was weird because I never really spent that much like quality time with my brother and how we were at the beach together in that moment. And he was even crossing my mind as we were at the beach and reminiscing, talking about childhood stories that involved my dad. It was very strange. And so we go back to the house. I call my dad. He's not answering. And then my mom's, okay, maybe he'll just show up for Thanksgiving dinner because he does that sometimes. He'll just show up. And so we eat and he doesn't show up. And then it's getting late. It's 9, I think, at this point. And my mom calls over to the house where he's living. And the lady answers and she's, yeah, he's in the bedroom and they tried to resuscitate him and they won't pick up his body. So they need you to come here and make arrangements to have somebody pick him up. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know how to explain that feeling. My brother and I, my mom, we all go over there and we walk into his room and his body is just on the ground. My mom puts a pillow under his head and she can see that they tried to resuscitate him. And there's this whole thing with my dad, do not resuscitate, like a DNR type of thing. And so she got really mad because he never wanted that. But it was weird because it's Thanksgiving and I didn't know this, but a lot of people die on Thanksgiving. They pass on Thanksgiving. So much stress for everyone, I think. And so nobody could come for, I think it was 6 hours. They were so busy going to other people's houses to pick up their loved ones. So we sat in his room for hours. And it felt my spirit was connecting with his spirit. And my brother and my mom are crying. And I feel like I'm having this whole conversation with him and him telling me that it's okay. And he's safe on this other side. And this whole dialogue happening. And I thought maybe I was imagining it at the time. I was 20 years old when this happened. And I was like, why am I not crying? And I felt like him telling me not to cry. It's okay. I felt him warming my heart and warming my soul. He was wrapping me in a blanket when I was born. Like he was hugging me in that same way. And I could feel my spirit hugging him, wrapping him in a blanket. We leave after they come and get him. And I get into bed with my mom because my mom, she's taking it very hard. She's, I should have had him here. I should have picked him up that morning. I should have not assumed that he would have made his way over here. She was going through all this regret. I slept with her that night in her bed, and that's when her TV turned on. And so I get up and I'm like looking around for the remote, and it's on her dresser, and I turn back off the TV and I lay back down. And a few minutes later, the TV turns back on and my mom starts wailing. She's, that's him. He said he was going to do this. He said he was going to mess with the electronics. He told me this. And I was so exhausted at this point that I just go and I like take the cord out of the wall and just remove it and just go back to sleep. Cause I'm like, my brain is fried. There's so much energetically happening. I just need to sleep. But my mom couldn't go back to sleep. It was like the wildest thing. And I'm just like, just go back to sleep. Like it's nothing. I really miss him. And I wish I got to spend more time with him. I really wish I got to go up there. And I always feel like he's always talking about that Native Alaskan part of me and how he wants me to connect back in. And I don't know, when I took the genetic testing, it was so many different things that I felt like I couldn't be just one thing. Like I feel like I'm part of every region of the world, that it feels like I cannot just claim one thing. And so it makes me feel that I'm not really even a part of, because the blood quantum is so low in that percentage that it doesn't feel right. Like it doesn't feel right to just say that I'm this thing or that thing or even four things.
Gosh, that's so common. So it's common like for us to feel that way. Like I wasn't Filipino enough. I wasn't Hispanic enough. I wasn't European enough. Yeah. And so that journey to, and I love that he's coming through and asking you to reconnect with those parts of yourself, because there's so much rich medicine within those parts. And I've been on my own discovery of, I've always known about my Filipino roots because it was such a strong presence in my life. Like my mom has a huge family. It was something that was always talked about. Where my dad's side of the family, like he lost his mom when he was like 20-ish, I think I was 3 or 4 when she passed. And then all of that information left with her because the family just dispersed. And my dad didn't talk about it. And it wasn't until 2020 when she started coming through as like a real strong guide for me and to remind me to learn about that side of the family. And I was like, how am I going to do that? Because at the time, I wasn't really even talking to my dad. I hadn't talked to him in like 15, 16, maybe even close to 20 years. But what I've been learning from the spirit world is it doesn't matter your percentage. You're just reclaiming those parts of your ancestry story, whatever that means to you. And I really do think that it really is about this richness and this connection back to the earth, like back to the elements and the spirits of the land and in spirit in general, because the indigenous people knew that we were always connected to the spirit world. And I think we're on that journey of remembering that.
It's interesting because my mom, she decided what she was going to do with his remains. And I really wanted to be there, but I couldn't because, and then so she just did it on her own. And it really upset me because I know what my dad's wishes were. He wanted to go back to Alaska and how you're saying, like going back to the land. But my mom, she's, I'm never going to go there. And I need to just put him back somewhere. And so she took him to a beach. They got married on the beach. He loved the water. He loved the ocean. He was a fisherman too. And I very much connect with the water. So every time I go in the ocean, I feel him connecting with me. But it does make me a little bit angry that I wasn't able to take him back there. I would have loved to go back there and put him into where he was born, into that land. But just the circumstances during that time, my mom wasn't able to do that. And with her connection being married to him.
Maybe this is just an opportunity for you to maybe one day go to Alaska and connect with him in that way. There's so much, I always feel like we're pulled to certain
places and I think of all the places that I've traveled to and I'm like, why am I doing here? And when I look back at some of the places, some of the sacred places that I've been there, it was always connected to my ancestry and I didn't realize it at the time. Like I didn't know that my family had a strong roots in New Mexico. I had no idea. But I remember the first time that I went, it was like, this is home to me. I didn't know how to explain it. I started crying when I got there. I was like, what? And I'm not a crier girl. I'm like, I'm not so super emotional person. But I've been drawn to these places because I feel like spirit is leading me to different places for me to reconnect with those places and reconnect with the energies there. And when I went to Peru, I'm like, I don't have family in Peru, but I can see why I was drawn to certain places, why I was drawn to be there and to connect with certain mountains and certain lands and certain people for me to remember like the simplicity of this life, which is this connection to Earth. I feel like for me, my journey has been like remembering because I've always been so busy-minded and just so busy. I had to stay busy and I was like avoiding feeling things and in my busyness my whole life. But me going to these more quieter places have brought me back to my spirit, if that makes sense. And so I think one day you'll go to Alaska. Yeah, which is another thing we have in common. My brother was in Alaska. It's just weird. When I think about some of these connections, I'm like, that is so weird. Like, where was your dad in Alaska?
So he was in Juneau.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Are you serious? Yeah. That's where my brother was.
Yeah.
He took off to Alaska and he was there for a couple of years.
My brother, he actually lived with my dad. So when he turned 18, he actually lived quite some time in Alaska with my dad. And so he got to spend that time with him. But I don't know what it is about. I don't know. Maybe it's my family. Maybe it's the alcoholism, the addiction that comes through that bloodline with my dad. But my brother was getting into so much trouble there, like a lot of trouble.
Yeah, my brother was too. Same.
And small town, you know, it's such a small town. So he had to come back. I actually bought him a plane ticket to get out of there because he was just getting into too much trouble there.
Yeah, that happened with my brother. He left California to get from a place because he was in a place of hanging out with kids that were just no good for him. And so I just have to take off. So one of his friends moved to Juneau, one of his best friends. And so I'm like, you're going to Alaska? What? Just like the first place I could think of. And he lived in Juneau and he had to leave because his friends were, it was no better than where he came from. So the kids were getting addicted to drugs and all of these things. And that was what he was trying to escape. And then he came back and then joined the military. And then that kind of shifted his life. But that is so weird. I'm like, it's not an accident that you and I are talking. I remember I was so worried when he left because I knew nothing about traveling out of California, really, at that time. At the time, I was a very safe, I stayed in my little shell. And now I'm more of a travel bug and I have been for the last 10 years. But I remember being like, what are you doing out way out there? But that is wild. And thank you for sharing that story with me about your dad. I think that it's obviously he wanted his story to be shared. And so that happened in 2009. That was in 2009. Yeah. So that was before you even fully had stepped into your awakening.
Yeah. So I feel like I was like half awake, half asleep.
Yeah. Same with me. Yeah. Like I can look back at my life and go, I definitely knew something was chatting with me because I had a very strong intuition. Like we talked about before when you said on your podcast, I wouldn't have called myself psychic, but I was definitely intuitive. That's exactly what I would say. And I said it for years, even when I was developing. I'm not psychic. I'm just really intuitive. Yeah. You know, not a medium. I'm just highly intuitive because I was just like, that was the language that was shared with me through my dad. Like he would always say, trust your intuition. It was ingrained in us. Trust your intuition. Trust that feeling in your body. He could never call it psychic. He would never call it mediumship. Now he does because he just recently told me his story of being young and he's sharing his experiences as a young child and his journey into shamanism that I didn't know about because I didn't talk to him for so long. And so I was like, what the heck? But it's just like always been there. But what shifted for you like when you were like, no, like this is something bigger is happening here.
This transition of, okay, I don't want to be a dentist anymore, but what do I want to do? So I was, okay, do I go back? When I was in high school, I took nursing classes because that's another thing. They're like, you should become a nurse, a dentist. Like you need to be in healthcare. That was the thing that I was always told. So I had worked as a nurse's assistant and I had taken care of people who were dying when I was graduating high school. Wow. And so when I felt, okay, dental isn't my thing anymore, maybe I should look into going and becoming a registered nurse or looking at different programs that I could take. And so one of these programs were in California. I had taken a road trip to California and I was walking through the school and something was telling me like, this wasn't my path. This isn't the path that I'm supposed to go down. And I was really confused. Okay, what is my path then? What am I supposed to do? And it just felt I wasn't supposed to go into nursing school. So it was just supposed to be a day trip. So I was there and then coming back so I could finish out the rest of my classes that I was taking currently. But when I had gotten in the shower, and this is the thing, I always take a shower and I always get like a download of information. I always get so much information in the water.
Me too.
So I was in the shower and I started hearing a voice and it was outside of me. It was inside my head, but it wasn't my voice. It was like something outside of me and I could hear it. And it was telling me to call my roommate because I had a roommate at this time. And I'm like, no, I'm leaving him alone. I'm not calling my roommate. That's weird type of thing. Call your roommate. You're being robbed. I looked down at my ring finger because I had this ring that was very special to me. And I was like, okay, I have my ring with me, my special ring. And then call your roommate. You're being robbed. And so I start to call him and he's not answering. And I could not sleep. So I get in my car and I drive all the way from California to Vegas that night. And it's 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm opening up my door and I can already tell everything was robbed. They flipped my bed. They stole everything.
Wow.
And that's when I was like, what was that? How did I know? What was that voice? Who was that? Where did that come from? And I always would question, why did I receive that information? But the more I started developing mediumship in my intuition, I learned that things like that will come to you in order to protect you. And so it was weird because that day I had received the message that this isn't my path, that I'm not supposed to go anywhere. And then that thing that would happen for me to lose everything that pretty much kept me there. I was at this crossroad. Okay, what do I do now? It's hard to explain.
It's interesting how when I look back to when I look at different timelines and how something came into along my path. It was either a gentle bump or it was an abrupt, loud wake up scenario, but it's always been there, right? Where you're like, okay, for whatever reason that happened and you weren't meant to do the next thing. And it's so funny because I was in dentistry for 16 plus years and I don't even know how I landed there. I remember I was dating this guy. We were together for like almost 7 years. This is when I met him when I was 18 and we were like together for almost 7 years. And when I was with him, I had worked at my friend's salon. I ran her entire business, I guess. I'm going to say that. She had this young girl and she like trusted me and she's still in my life to this day, which I love. But for some reason, she just saw it in me. You're a leader. I see you running this entire thing. And I was like, what? I was like, okay. She just trusted me. And then through that process, my ex was like, his aunt worked for an orthodontist. And she was like, we need somebody. And I feel like you should come. And I was like, what? And it was like, but I can see how that happened because the world of spirit, universe, God, creator, whatever you want to call it, was trying to get me out of the valley. Like I had to commute an hour to get to this job. And I always knew that I wasn't going to stay in that valley. I knew it in my bones. Even though I loved this person I was with like deeply and he was such an amazing partner, I don't know how I knew it. I just knew that I wasn't going to marry him. I knew I wasn't going to have kids. I knew I wasn't going to stay in the desert there. I knew it. And it didn't make sense because my relationship didn't reflect anything but a good relationship partnership. But I remember I was like, I'm supposed to get out of here. And so I trusted it and I started working with his aunt at this other location. And then that location brought me to the beach eventually. But I don't know. Again, I wasn't trying to be a dentist. I wasn't trying. Like it just fell in my lap. And I almost wonder sometimes too with like healing arts, but it was just getting me into a place of being around healing. It was definitely something like I'm so grateful for both locations that I worked in for such a long period of time. They were family to me and I was pretty much on my own.
my parents got divorced when I was 18. They both took off and left the state. And I was like, I'm staying here. I'm not leaving California. That was like my thing. And so I definitely was aligned with certain people or places to nurture me and to guide me into these things. But I was so terrified. Same thing. I had been diagnosed with ADHD when I was young, dyslexia, like all these things. So I had all these barriers that I put on myself that when I would study, I couldn't do it. I was like, I couldn't break past my barrier. But I also was like, I just don't see myself working and cleaning teeth for the rest of my life. I just don't see myself doing that. But I knew I was going to do something to help people. I felt it in my bones.
Yeah.
But I was so safe and complacent in that space until I had no choice but to leave, because Spirit was like, okay, now we got to wake her up, because she's going to stay here forever if we don't do something drastic. So my awakening was a bit like, it was definitely like things that would come in and definitely slap me back on my path. But then it got to a point where the universe is like, okay, now we got to just rip the rug out from underneath her, because she's not going to leap unless we make her. And then it just like full on came on, like in ways. I went to a spontaneous channeling where I was like rocking back and forth, standing up. Wow. And literally my body was going like this.
Wow.
And I was like, and then after it stopped, I couldn't get out of bed for a week straight because I was so exhausted. And I was like, what is this? And that's how I set my path of finding a teacher. So it was definitely an abrupt path for myself. I feel like most of the people I talk to, I feel like they have those stories. I haven't talked to very many people where it was a gentle process. I feel like the people that I've aligned with they've had some crazy experiences that really got them on their path.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know what it is. I feel I've always had these little trails of intuition of spirit, but nothing like, you're going to do this, or this is what I never felt like
exactly fully
cracked open. I think maybe having that one reading where I connected with that little girl, that I feel cracked me open into believing. But I think the whole time I was still trying to make sense of it.
Mm-hmm. That first experience with spirit where I was aware that's what I was doing was definitely one that was like, okay, I cannot deny this like anymore. But even after having really jaw-dropping experiences that I couldn't deny, I still was in denial. I was like, everyone on the outside world was like, oh my God, everyone used to call me a medical medium before when I first started. And I was like, I don't think I'm a medical medium. But I guess that's what they classified me as, is because I would always find illness in the body. That's how it started.
Oh, okay.
I'd be like, oh, I don't know if I want to call myself a medical medium. I didn't realize that the world of spirit was helping me at the time to uncover things in the body. I didn't know that. I hadn't figured out if it was psychic or mediumship yet. I just knew the information was coming in and I was getting validated in information. And I was like, okay. But people would call me that. And I was like, I don't know if I'm a medical medium. But when I look back at that time in my life, I was like, oh, I was trying to heal my own body. I was on a deep discovery of just healing my own body. So weird things were going on in my body. I didn't know that was mediumship, but I think that was like spirit world being like, okay, this is what she's focusing on. So let me go ahead and bring this information for the people she's around, because that's like how we can get her attention. But how did you dive into mediumship and then medical intuition?
So I think I was doing medical mediumship on myself when I first started getting diagnosed with panic disorder. They were trying like a new prescription on me, like just about every other week or every 2 weeks. And my spirit was telling me not to take it, that I don't need it. And so I started not taking my medication. And I had this thing where I had appendicitis and I went to the hospital and they were going to give me an emergency surgery to remove my appendix. And again, my spirit was like, you don't need this. So I actually walked out of the hospital with appendicitis and signed paperwork, you're going to die if you don't have the surgery. Went to sleep, woke up, and everything was fine. I was perfectly fine. And then I remember it was weird because a few months later, I had met one of the head surgeons in Las Vegas who does those surgeries to remove the appendix. And I told him my story. And he said, you wouldn't believe how many surgeries I go in and there's nothing wrong with the appendix, but I remove it anyways.
Whoa.
So that was when I started to feel like, okay, I can trust myself and how my body responds to me when it needs something. And then I got really into eating fermented food. So I'd make my own beet kvass and I would make my own kombucha. And I was growing the stuff in my kitchen. And I remember my friends would come over and they'd be like, what is all this stuff? You're so weird, Leilani. Like, where are you from? I just know that my body needs this. So I'm going to make this stuff myself because, there's just something that was speaking to me about that part. And then how I spoke for my brother. I was conditioned as a child to be able to do that for other people. And then I started doing that for myself. And so When I started developing mediumship and I would be in practice sessions and I was connecting with spirit for my sitter, and I would be like, by the way, like, I'm seeing this thing in your body. Are you aware of that? And actually, It was so bizarre because the same week or the same month, it was back-to-back readings that I did with two separate women. I was connecting in with her mother, and her mother was telling me that she had a brain tumor. And I was visually seeing a brain tumor in the back of her brain. And I told her, I don't want to scare you, but I do think you need to go to your doctor and get an image of your brain. And sure enough, she messaged me. She said, Leilani, you're not going to believe this. You saved my life. I have a brain tumor and I'm scheduled for surgery next week to have this thing removed. And I worked with this other lady. And this was someone I worked with before. I had done practice mediumship with her before. And then I was like, I don't know, it's weird because I just connected with the lady with the brain tumor, but I'm actually seeing a hole in your head, like a empty cavity in the frontal lobe. And it's just empty tissue in your brain. And she was, that's wild because I had a brain tumor removed 6 months ago. And that's exactly what it looks like. It's this empty cavity right there. I'm supposed to go in and make sure nothing cancerous is growing and filling it up. She's like, can you tell me if it's okay? I'm like, I don't see any cancer. I just see a cavity and the tissue looks pink. And I was like pretty much describing her what The image that she was about to take. And so she called me and she's like, thank you so much. Everything's clean. And I'm like, wow, okay. And that's when this other lady, that second lady, she was telling me, I think you're a medical intuitive. And I'm like, no. I'm not good with the body. I don't like the medical field. No.
I was the same way. I'm like, I don't know anatomy. I don't, but for whatever reason, just whatever, if I just trusted what came through, just say it, it would be validated. And I'm like, but I don't know the anatomy of a body. But what was funny is just recently spirit was like, we need you to get those books that are anatomy and you layer them. Like you do the cellophane and it's like this, And you just, and I was like, okay. Because they were showing me that they wanted to go deeper into the tissue to bring healing. And because I do a lot of ancestral healing, and they were showing me through the ancestral lens how we can get into the tissue to release some of this trauma. And so I was like, okay. So I bought this anatomy chart, and that has blown my mind where I can see the inner makings of the body. Again, I'm not in any way, I've never studied like medical, I don't do any of that. But for whatever reason, because now I've given them another tool to work with, I can focus in my energy into certain parts, if that makes sense. Like I will imagine seeing the heart and I'll see the valves and all of these things that will come forward from the body and how it relates to emotions and pain in the body. And so that's how my mediumship has completely shifted, right? So I went from doing traditional mediumship readings to, would you understand, to now it's a completely different realm of mediumship where we're working with healing the body from emotional scars or physical discomfort and how that relates to ancestral lineage and belief systems. It's like this, it's wild. And so now when I even think about going back to traditional mediumship, it's almost like it can never be the same, if that makes sense, because this is where they're wanting me to go.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I feel for me, they're wanting me to actually go into more of psychic surgery, pulling out the pain.
Exactly.
And I did that in one of my sessions with this man. I just want to pull the nerves out.
He's like, that's exactly what I do.
He was like, why don't you do it? I'm really? And he was, okay, I'm going to pull the nerves out. And I sat there for about a good 5 minutes pulling, like doing the psychic surgery thing with my hand. And he was like, let me stand up. He was like, Leilani, I'm not even shitting you. I don't even feel the pain right now. Whatever you just did fixed it, corrected it.
Did you know, Leilani, that psychic surgery is rich in Filipino spiritual culture?
No, I did not do any research when it comes to psychic surgery, because whenever I pull something out about that, they talk about it being like fraudulent, it being fake.
Because you'll actually see. But I didn't realize that either until because I didn't understand before I took one of my first classes, I didn't realize that I was doing this thing on myself where I would pull stuff out of my body. I didn't know then. I just thought I was like, oh, just like shaking things off, or I don't know. I just do these things with my hands, and I didn't know why I was doing it. And then when I started taking these classes for intuitive healing and advanced intuitive healing, one of my teachers was telling me that one of the procedures that we were going to learn was actually based on spiritual healers of the Philippines, and it was through psychic surgery. And I was like, what? And so now I'm like, after learning it, I was like, oh my God, I've been doing this whole time, and I didn't know where I was learning it from. And I think that's where like my ancestry comes in and says, you have the healing abilities of this culture and you have the healing abilities of this culture. If you just lean into us, it would just naturally come through you. And one of those things is psychic surgery, which is really cool. So after I've been doing it for a while, and then I met with this, he's an indigenous healer from the Philippines, and he's actually here in California. He wrote this incredible book that I love so much. And when I was reading his book, I was like, holy crap, this is what the spirit world has been teaching me for the last 4 years. And I am now reading it in a book. And a lot of the psychic surgery, like you said, in the Philippines, it's actual physical. Like, I'm going to touch your body, but I don't do it that way. It's all psychically done. And it's incredible. Yeah. But I love that you just shared that, because that is a part of your ancestry, that wow. healing ability. Yeah.
And you were saying how you healed yourself. I actually did the same thing. So I had this endometrioma, yep. I think it was. And so I had gone to my gynecologist, and he was, we got to remove this thing because it's on your ovary and it can actually like contort your ovary and pop it inward and out. And then you'll be left without an ovary. And I was like, what do I do? He was like, we got to go in and surgically take it off. And I was like, am I going to lose my ovary? He was, there's a good chance you will lose your ovary, because he was explaining like a belly button, like it will invert it and pop, and then it'll be extremely painful. And I had left the doctor's office and I had gone into the car, and I just remember pushing my seat back and being like, no, I'm going to do this on my own. And I just remember visualizing this thing shrinking. I visualized this thing actually going away. And I remember pulling the energy out, pulling the blood out. I don't even know how to explain this. Something inside of me just said, do this. And then I started doing this just about every day. So anytime I would think that I had this endometrioma on my ovary, I would start visualizing it shrinking and it, the blood and everything coming out of it. And then he called, he was like, when do you want to do the surgery? Trying to schedule me in. I said, I think I'm going to just hold on and just watch and see what happens. And he was, I'm advising against that, but if that's what you want to do, we can go in and schedule you an ultrasound in a couple of months. And I'm like, yeah, let's do that. And then my body started telling me, you need to fast. You need to start fasting. So I started doing intermittent fasting where I wouldn't eat for 20 hours. So I would eat within a 4-hour window. And I was just letting my body naturally
heal itself.
Heal itself. And I had gone in, I think it was like 3 months, or maybe it was even 6 months. It was in between 3 and 6 months. And there was nothing on my ovary. And the doctor, he was like, what did you do? Because this is impossible. This does not happen. Endometrioma. I think it's not filled with something. It's basically something to do with the inside of it. It basically doesn't have a blood source. Or I don't know. I don't know the details of it. He was explaining it to me, and it was just like, no, I'm not buying this. No, this is not happening. Not believing. I was talking to my husband last night about this. Do you think that certain people who have been diagnosed with cancer, if they just leave it and ignore it, pretend like it's not there, like they live longer than the ones who are actually trying to do all the treatment, trying to do all the radiation, trying to get rid of it, because they're fighting this battle against this thing that they have in their body instead of it naturally doing what it needs to do and removing it in that kind of way, energetically? And I'm a believer, because I did that to myself. I healed myself from that. And so it's pretty shocking. And when I told the doctor, all I did was fast, he was like, no, he didn't believe me. And it was interesting because this same doctor, he was like, you're high anxiety. Are you in therapy? I was like, yeah, I'm in therapy. He said, so it's not working for you. I'm like, no, it's not. I've been in therapy for years. He was like, I know this lady and she doesn't take health insurance. You have to pay out of pocket, but I think she's really going to help you. And he gave me a card of a Reiki healer that lives like a town away from me. And I went to her and my body started lifting up off the table, like wherever she was putting her hands, like above my body. It was like the energy, I could feel it being pulled, like this pulling energy. I was like, what is this? What is this? And that's how I really got into wanting to know more. And I remember I asked her, how did you learn how to do this? She was, oh, I read books. And I was like, I want to learn how to do this. But she was never really interested in teaching. She just did sessions on people. And so it wasn't until I found a mediumship teacher and she had a Reiki master who was a part of my program that I did. And she was like, I'll teach you how to do Reiki. And so she was the one who attuned me to level one, two, and the master level. But I really got into this not wanting to use all the symbols. Like, I'm really against the structure of like traditional Reiki.
I'm all, don't tell me I can't do that. Like, I'm such a rule breaker.
So I got really, and then I started finding other healers that were doing what I feel I can do. I don't know if you know who Charlie Goldsmith is. Do you know who he is?
Okay. Yeah. That's, he actually fell in my lap at the brewing convo. Right when I started to really start to awaken, I kept being like, what is it? What am I supposed to do with this? And that's when Teresa Caputo, like all of a sudden her shows were on 24 hours a day. And I was like, but again, not like putting the two and two together. It was more of, oh, wow, that's so cool that she can do that. And then Tyler, Matt Goldsmith came on. And I was like, wow, that's really incredible. And I laugh now because that is my world. I bridged mediumship with the energy healing and just sandwiched it together. And he's an incredible healer.
Yeah.
And the stuff that he does is magnificent.
So I started learning from him. I started taking his trainings and I was like, everything he's doing, this is what I've been doing pretty much my entire life. This is what I do for myself. So I'm like, I resonate with this. So I can take my understanding of Usui, Reiki, the traditional, and I can apply it to my innate energy ability. And then I'm also psychic. So it's like the surgery kind of thing that's going on. But what I learned was Charlie Goldsmith, he won't actually admit it, but what he does is psychic surgery. He'll go in, he'll say, oh, I'm visualizing, I'm injecting this muscle with this thing. And so he's doing psychic surgery.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like just recently, I have a new guy that's been coming in with stem cells. And I'm like, oh, stem cells. And so I believe that we're, especially those of us that work in the body in the way that we were talking about, that we have all these multiple guides that come in based on what the need is in the collective or maybe for the client. And I don't stop it. I'm like, I'll tell a client, like, I've never seen this before, but I'm hearing they're putting stem cells in between, blah, 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 blah. And I'll actually see the tissues and stuff start to reignite.
Yep.
And it's incredible. But same thing, like I have taken everything that I've quote unquote learned, but I'll be honest with you, I already knew it. Yep. I was already doing it on myself. And then I'd go to these classes and I'd be like, holy shit, I've been doing this. This is so weird. But I've just not tied myself down to one philosophy. I just allow spirit to move through me, if that makes sense. And just bridge whatever needs to come through will come through for that specific person or even for myself. And I've seen some wild stuff take place with my clients. And I've seen some really wild stuff take place on myself. Like I have these indigenous guides. I have one that's this Aztec guide. And I've literally seen him psychically like almost cut my body in half to remove mass from my body. And I'm like, what is that? And he's like, you've taken on too much from this. We got to remove it because it's going to make your energy feel heavy. And I'm like, okay, thank you. So it is that ability to be able to, one, trust. I love how you talked about that because I do think that it begins with us. What is it that I need in this moment? You know what? No, I don't need that. I need to fast, right? It's like listening to that inner voice that strengthens that connection to the intuition that in turn opens up your innate abilities to be psychic or maybe even mediumship or all of the things like the telepathic communication and all those things. But it really starts with us trusting ourselves first and listening to what our body needs.
Mm-hmm.
And then how that translates with our client.
Did you ever watch that movie Lucy with, I forget her name? Oh, I don't remember her name. But anyways, the end of it, her brain becomes 100%. And then basically she turns into energy and she's like an infinite. Oh, wow. When I watched that movie, something was telling me like, this is what we're all capable of doing. This infinite mm-hmm. possibility, this energetic, we're everywhere, we're everything. Even when we pass, we still come in with our same personality. That way people can identify that's who we are. But there's this imprint of mm-hmm. energy that translates. But what is my point? I just feel like there's infinite possibilities when it comes to healing. 100%. And I feel like you can call on different guides. You can call on different mm-hmm. medicines to help you in different situations. And it's different for each individual. Each individual is mm-hmm. not going to need the same thing. So it's the energetic prescription that's exactly
100%. And I think that like another layer to that though is that also believing that we can heal ourselves, like how you said, I believe that I could do this. I felt it in my bones. I knew it, and this is what I did just to help relieve myself of whatever that pressure was in the body. And the belief, I think, is so powerful. Mm-hmm. So we believe that we can do that for ourselves. Like my whole journey started with me wanting to heal myself and me understanding, holy crap, like I feel this good. Yeah. Only 2 weeks into my practice, what else is available to me? Where before I was very much a Western medicine girl. That was my thing. Even though I get these calls, don't do that, go here. Like I just recently remembered long before my big awakening, I was having all this discomfort in my body. I literally thought I had different autoimmune disorders because nothing could be explained. And then something told me to go online and look up an intuitive healer. This is way before I even mm-hmm. entered that career. And I was like, what's an intuitive healer? And I was like, oh, that sounds cool. And so I remember Googling intuitive healer. Somebody popped up. She worked on me distantly from across the country. My body was moving like I couldn't explain it. And she was telling me what was trapped in my body, what was creating the pain. And that I didn't have the deficiencies that they said that I had, that I was mineral deficient. And all I needed was trace minerals.
Wow.
And that is still a message that I get today with this work that I'm doing, trace minerals, because my body gets depleted or dehydrated. But I've completely forgot about that. My husband even made an appointment because he was like, I want to check that out. Yeah. And like years later, it just popped into my head that I was like, holy shit. Like, I can't be the only one. You can't be the only one that are getting these like download. Like, why all of a sudden does somebody want to become plant-based? Why all of a sudden does somebody want to go to acupuncture? I feel like we're all getting these little downloads or insights, and so maybe we trust them, maybe we don't, but it is that returning to the body.
Yeah, I think we're conditioned to not trust our bodies. If you think about mm-hmm. it, like touching ourselves is wrong. So we're conditioned to not listen to our bodies. And so mm-hmm. I think when you get out of the way of all those self-limiting beliefs, this is wrong, I shouldn't be connecting in with myself type of thing.
Yeah.
You're able to tap into what is actually needed. That's what I do for myself whenever I'm not feeling well. I'm like, what do you need, mm-hmm. body? And it's most of the time you need, for me, it's always magnesium, it's salt water, it's walking. Like you need to get, you
it's
need
like
to
go
move
outside,
your body.
Get some fresh air. Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of movement. It's like go for a walk or minerals every time.
But when I work with people, when I work with clients, it's because they're coming to me for a specific problem and I don't like to know what it is. I like to do the body mm-hmm. scan and then see if it comes in. And sometimes I'll hear words. I remember I did this session on this girl and I was, there's something with the neck. It's like the torculitis, something about torculitis or something, and your neck being she was like, that was me as a kid. My neck was full on twisted and my mom didn't know how to help me. And now I had serious neck problems as an adult. I Googled it after and it's actually a condition like torculitis or something. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what that is. But it's that message, it's energy from your body. Your body is speaking, giving that message of what's wrong. And I've worked with children who were nonverbal. I've worked with people who've been in a coma. They don't even have to physically be there as long as I can connect in with their energetic blueprint.
Exactly.
Just connecting in with them. I do think it is how you were saying, the Filipino, the different ancestors. So my great grandmother, she was actually a medical intuitive, and all the doctors on the island would call her to help diagnose their patients. Mm-hmm. I found this out once I started practicing mediumship. And recently, Danielle, because I was wondering about Carolyn Mice, because she says she's a medical intuitive. Yeah. And she did something similar where she was working with doctors, like identifying what's going on in the body. So that is in my bloodline, two grandmothers back from me who did that.
That's incredible. But see what I'm saying? Obviously, that's coming through. And then I wonder, is it them channeling that information for us? Because if we're working so closely with the spirit world and our loved ones in spirit, obviously they want to assist us in helping us heal and helping, you know, us evolve and grow, which is really incredible. Have you heard of Julie Ryan?
No, I haven't.
Okay, you're going to have to check her out because she's also another medical intuitive, and she used to develop stuff for surgery, like that you put in the body. And so her medical intuition is wild, and she does distant healings as well. Same thing, she'll tap into the blueprint, connect to, let's say you wanted to check in with a family member, she would plug into you, then bring a line of connection to the other person. Mine, I don't know, I don't have a thing where I'm like lassoing people, it just comes on. It's just, oh, I'm on with you, this is what's coming through, all of these things. But her way of doing it, or at least the way she describes it, is she will tap into like you, and if it's for you, then it's for you. But if, let's say it's your spouse, or let's say it's your daughter, or let's say, then she'll connect to you, and she'll connect to them, and she does like this looping of energy, and then she draws them into her field. But her medical intuition is really fun too, because I like to see how different people work. And you're like, that's so cool, because it just goes to show that we are limitless. There is no barriers to what we can do with the world of energy. I think the only thing that's blocking us is truly like our belief systems, or maybe our fear or doubt. But it's incredible work. So do you prefer bridging the two over traditional mediumship, or do you still like to do both?
I still like to do both. I've been recently thinking, should I just make it just one offer? Like, why do I need to separate everything? Because if it needs to come through, it needs to come through, type of thing. But I do want to start offering more of that energy healing psychic surgery. Mm-hmm. I did stop because when I was doing the medical intuition, I was taking on the symptoms of my clients, and I really had to start working through that and why that was happening. And it was because for me, I was going into their energy and I wasn't allowing them to come into mine. And I started buying into also their pain. And I forgot, I lost sight of what I was actually supposed to be doing. So I had to take a break. And it was me having the same symptoms of my clients, and it scared me. I ended up in urgent care actually a couple of times because I was
remember that.
On, yeah.
I remember that. I remember what was one of the times we were in the circle together. You had, I remember that. You had went to the doctor and went to the emergency room.
Yeah, there was a thing where I took on some lady's skin condition. It was very bizarre. And then another time, and this actually lasted for months, where I took on her shoulder pain. I was removing her shoulder pain, but I wasn't cleaning myself, and I wasn't doing the sessions properly. I was still learning, and I never had a medical intuitive teacher. I've never found somebody to mentor me when it comes to this. So I'm very much self-taught in this area. Mm-hmm. So I had to learn all this stuff the hard way by going through it.
Yeah.
But I had shoulder pain for 6 months, and it wasn't until I actually started doing the energy work on myself again, because then I forgot. I got into helping everybody else and not taking care of myself. So I had to really go back to basics and start doing the energy work on myself, and just really going back to that self-care piece that we all have.
Yeah, that's so important. And I love that you even brought that up, because that's something that I wanted to ask you, was like, we know as like facilitators for spirit, or if you want to say for healing, we know what can happen or what happens with a client, and like the change that can occur and like the healing that can happen. But we don't often talk about what happens on the other side, right? People, I don't know that they fully understand like how we can feel after a session. And sometimes I feel amazing, but then there's times where sometimes I'm like, I can't get out of bed for 2 or 3 days. I'm like, what the heck was that? And how that affects our, like our families. When I didn't think about this until I think it was like earlier this year, my husband had said, have you ever thought about what it's like for me or your kids to be on the other side, like watching you be this like psychic medium healer, the spiritual healer? And I was, now you're saying it, I guess I haven't. You've always said you supported me. There's never been like a really, and he's like, no, that's not that I don't support you. He goes, but I worry for you. He goes, because I don't think you understand, like you are resting a lot, like you're needing a lot of downtime. And it makes me worry that you're getting sick. And I was like, oh my God. Because to me, like when I'm in my work and it's just that vibration is really high. But when I'm not working, I require a lot of quiet time. Like I need to be in my own energy. I like to like nuzzle in. I like to just retreat a bit. And I think that it's great, but he's looking at me going, do you realize what you're doing to your body? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Have you gotten this, any feedback like that from your household?
Yeah. When I was talking about taking on idea of dying versus ignoring it type of thing. So he actually said that to me last night. He's like, do you understand what this feels like being your partner? He's every night you're screaming at things in your sleep. It's scary to witness. But so I did this charity event, this demonstration of mediumship, and this person that I was connecting with, the spirit was taking me to the underworld and pulling me back out of the underworld. The spirit was physically showing me that this person that I was reading had died and they had brought him back to life. And it mm-hmm. was like this root being pulled out of the ground and like circling back. This gives me chills just thinking about it.
Yeah.
And so my sitter, she had her legs amputated and she was actually flatlined. She died. And she said when she woke up, she saw this man sitting at the edge of her bed and she was telling all the nurses that he brought her back to life and it was her uncle. And so I was connecting with her uncle who brought her back from the underworld. But after it, I got so sick. I had to go outside. I was grounding. I was hugging trees. My higher self, someone was telling me, go to the ocean, Leilani, you need to go mm-hmm. in the salt. I ignored that because I have young children and I'm like, okay, I'm outside with them and I'm playing. So this is my grounding time. I woke up so swollen, so inflamed. My head, my eyes were swollen. I couldn't even open my eyes. I had to go into urgent care. I had, they call it an aura migraine. And they had they had to give me steroids to just help with the swelling, nausea medicine. But he was, you can't do this anymore if I have to take you to urgent care the next day. This is wild that I'm like, how do you explain that?
I know. And it is hard to explain. And I helped assist one of my clients through his passing for end of life doula care. And I remember towards the end where he was getting ready to physically leave his body, I was like seeing myself as almost like this flashlight or almost like I was following him to the spirit world. But the love that I was feeling from the spirit world was so powerful. It was like I couldn't turn back. And my guides kept saying, you're going too far. Come back. You're going too far. And I was like, but I couldn't help it. It was just like that love that I was feeling was so like I just wanted to be closer to it. And then all of a sudden I felt like one of my guides pull me back super fast, like a rubber band, just shoot. And I felt like I snapped back into my body. And then I heard, you need to go get IVs immediately because I had completely depleted myself of all the fluid or the nutrients that my body needed. And so I listened. I actually went and I was doing IVs and I had to take in a lot of salt, lots of salt in my water or whatever. But again, it was just in that moment, I'm just mm-hmm. working and I'm like feeling the presence of spirit and I'm following that love essence. Mm-hmm. And what I learned from that was that I was allowing myself to drive the car when they were like, no, you're just observing, let us drive the car. But I was just feeling that love. And it was just so, I can't describe it in words, but it was just like, you just didn't want to feel this physical body anymore. It was just such a loving essence. It was so powerful. But that was a learning experience. I couldn't get out of bed for a week. I was in the dark in my room for a week. And my husband was like, what are you doing to yourself? And I was like, no, it's fine. I'm just, this is what I've signed up for. And then I had to have like those conversations of like, why am I choosing to allow my body to go through this? Because there's a part of me that believed that I needed to. So I had to work through that belief system. And I still have to wrestle. I still have to catch her, that wounded healer archetype that likes to overgive and overstretch.
I like to think that it's easy. It doesn't have to be complicated. If you think about it, when we're in nature, we didn't need much. We just needed some dirt, some water. Keep it very simple. We don't need to overcomplicate it. And that's how I see the healing part. As long as I can get into some water, even if it's a shower, a mm-hmm. bath, whatever it is, drink some salt water, like you're saying. For me, it doesn't have to be a lot of downtime because I have young children, even though I would enjoy a lot of downtime, even though I know that's what I need, but I have to work with what I have. So
exactly.
I try not to overcomplicate it or make it into a big issue, and just even brushing my teeth. That is cleaning my energy as well. I really work with the water element to clean myself in that kind of way. But I just feel like simple is best. Like, you don't need to have a lot of expensive tools or anything like that. It just needs to be just whatever your body's telling you it needs and really listening to it.
I love that you just answered a question I was going to ask you. I mean, I had two questions that I was going to do like a quick rapid fire before we wrap this up. And that was like one of the things, what are the tools that you use? And you just answered it. So I don't even just like a simple, because I also relate with the element of water. It's water and earth for me. As if I can get my feet on the earth, I'm good. But if I'm really feeling energy sickness, just put my buns in some water. It's usually a salt bath and I'm good to go. But I wanted to also ask you, so this is our last question, or this is the question that we're going to wrap up this conversation with, because I know you have your little one there and she's like wanting to be with her mama. What did you like learn about yourself? What was your greatest learning about yourself for this year, for 2023?
I don't know if it's a twofold answer, but it really is learning that I don't need to be at the destination to enjoy that journey part, the middle part, getting to the end, and having a little bit of grace for myself to not feeling I need to get there. Just allowing myself to be present where I'm at now and not where I want to be, type of thing. So I feel I've been coming to terms with acceptance. Like, I'm here now. This is okay. I'm saved. I don't need to be in this dreamland all the time, too far in the future. Mm-hmm. And so it's really just having, I think my lesson has been grace with where I'm at.
Oh yeah, that's definitely a big lesson for sure. I can relate with that 1000%. I always have to tell myself, just, you know where you're going, you've seen it. And then my guides will say, but this is your life's journey. And I'm like, oh yeah. Okay, so let me just call myself back into the present moment. I visualize me bringing all my energy back above my head and like cleansing it and bringing it back into my body. Yeah. Do you have any intentions, or sometimes people create a word for the year ahead for 2024? Do you have any intentions for the next year?
I feel like my word is probably going to be expand. Okay, I'm ready. I've been cocooning. I feel like I've spent a lot of this year just cocooning my energy. And so now I feel like I've taken in a lot of these teachings. I know what I'm doing wrong. I know how to correct what it was I was bumping into that wasn't working with me. So now I'm really ready to expand. And yeah, I'm just excited for the expansion part of this coming year.
I know. I'm really excited for you because, like I said, I've been really enjoying your podcast. And anytime I see any of my sisters, like, putting themselves out there in that way, I get really excited because it takes a lot of guts and it takes a lot of effort and energy to get things prepared and to put it out into the world. But I think the more that we share our experience or our words or our voice or our heart, it just makes such an impact in the collective. And I've been in the presence of your energy here, like throughout the spirit school, but then also I feel like I love your podcast. I'm so excited. Will you share what your podcast is called, and then also how people can either work with you or get in touch with you, because it's really sweet. I loved it so much. And I can feel your vulnerability when you speak. Really special.
Thank you. That was actually my intention, to just be very authentic with having this podcast. It really has been a way for me to use my voice, heal my voice. I'm a 2-4 projector, so I tend to hermit myself a lot and not feel like people want to hear what I have to say. But a lot of my 4 is community. And so it's bringing in people that do resonate with my story. And I feel like we're not so different. We all have very similar stories. So it's just a place for me to bring people on that inspire me and just use my voice. And so if you want to check it out, the name is Spirit Reach, like you're reaching for spirit. Spirit Reach Podcast, Leilani Mana Medium. And sorry, what was that next question? I'm bad.
Yeah, how people can get in touch with you through, I know you have your Instagram page.
Under Instagram, I go under Mana Medium, M-A-N-A Medium. And I do have a website. So if you want to search my website. It's Mana Medium. And yeah, Instagram's probably the best way to reach me. And yeah, if you want to listen into the podcast, Spirit Reach, you can find me there.
I'm so excited. I know I told you I was going to launch this next week, but I feel like we should put it out as soon as possible. So I'm going to try to get it out in the next 2 days.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to have this conversation with me. And I look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jess.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I look forward to hearing from you. Please share your comments with me on Instagram at @peoplecallmejess. Your continued support means the world to me. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Plus, share this episode with a friend or loved one that you feel would benefit from today's conversation. Thank you for listening.